Hello, everyone. I'm grateful to be here. And Dub, if you ever forget why I'm here, you know, don't worry. I'll just introduce myself. I understand I'm here 3 times a week, and you're a busy man, and it probably gets all jumbled in your mind what the heck I'm doing here today. But yeah, you got it right. I'm here for Holy Spirit guides. And that means that what we're doing is we're looking at ReginaDawnAkers.com, which is the stuff that the Holy Spirit gave me to guide me. And let me just give you that link. There's the link to ReginaDawnAkers.com. Now, I have been watching The Peace of God this morning, so I am aware of the fact that I made a post this morning, and then, you know, there have been additional posts, you know, in reaction to that post. So what I wanted to do now was just make an offer and see if anybody wants to go for it. I wanted to make an offer and go ahead and discuss the post that I made on relationships, if anyone here would like to. If everyone here is okay with the post and we don't need to do that, then we'll just move on to April 24th, 2005, which is where we left off. But first, if anybody at all, it only takes one, if anybody at all would like to discuss today's post, just let me know. You can just type a yes on the board, or you can, if you're shy, you can send me a private message. So I'm just going to wait for a second and see if I get any replies to that offer. Okay, tell you what then, Mary Ellen, that's fair. You didn't see the post, so you don't know if it's upsetting you or not. All right, let me just tell you a little bit about the post, and then we'll see if you... Dove says yes. You do want to discuss it, Dove. Is that what I'm hearing? A yes from Dove. Okay, then we have our one, so that's all I needed. So we will go in and discuss this, because it's showing up as somewhat controversial, and I'm really not feeling it this time to go back on the peace of God and say anything. Whether that will show up or not, I don't know. But right now I'm feeling on the peace of God much more just to watch what's going on. So if you're at ReginaDawnAkers.com, which is the link I just gave you, you actually have access to it because the post is also there. And the title of this is How Do I Detach from the Ones I Love? And I think it's possible that it's the word detach that is causing some of the seeming controversy. I think it's possible that if I had worded that differently, you know, if I had said something like, you know, how do I take a special relationship and turn it into a holy relationship? Maybe we wouldn't be seeing the controversy. But it's really interesting because the word detach is an important part of this. That's an important part of how we take a special relationship and let it become a holy relationship. So I don't really want to avoid the word detach. What I want to do is get really clear on what that word means. I think that one person replied today seeming to interpret the word detached to mean abandon. And those two words literally have nothing in common. Detach and abandon have nothing in common. There, Dove has given you a link right there also. So you can either at Regina Dawn Akers or at the link that Dove has just given you. You can go right in and look at it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just click on the post myself, and we will go in and read it and discuss it. And I may even have a few personal stories to share because I think I've detached from about 3 special relationships now that felt pretty intense special relationships. So I have a little bit of experience in doing this. The most recent one I just detached from yesterday. So that's part of why the post came up today. As you all know, whatever I'm teaching, I'm always teaching myself. I know that because it gets posted and because, you know, I have the feeling that it's helpful to others, it may appear that I'm teaching others, but that is appearance only. Anything that I post is always for me. So this was to confirm my own most recent lesson. That for me was the primary purpose of the post. And I might share a little more details if I feel guided to. But first, let's just go into reading. Hello, friends. First, I want to express deep, abiding gratitude for the Holy Spirit, which leads us all so perfectly. It knows what we truly need, and it always provides. The Holy Spirit has a crush on us all, and we only need the eyes to see that this is true. And that first expression just came from what I have been feeling, I think you all know, for weeks now, just this undying gratitude. And again, this undying gratitude does not mean that I don't see the ego in my mind and that I don't experience the ego, because I do. It just means that this gratitude is so strong, it never goes away, regardless of what I'm experiencing. So the gratitude is consistent. And the Holy Spirit has a crush on us all. That actually came from a friend of mine, and in fact, she might even be listening now on ACIM Gather Radio. She's on a Mac, so she's not in the room, but she might be listening, and if you are, hello. But when we were in the New Hampshire camp for miracles, I had to get there early because I was a part of the team, and my job was to put some notes and chocolates on everyone's pillow. And the friends that gave me a ride helped me. So we were all putting chocolates and notes on everyone's pillow. And what that means is we got to go into all of the rooms and see all of the rooms, or at least a significant portion. We divided the work, and we were in a couple of different teams, but we got to see a lot of the rooms. Well, I was working with one particular friend, and we were going in all of the rooms, and literally the second to last room that we went into, or the third to last room that we went into, was the room that was assigned to me. And at that point, it was the most beautiful room we had seen. It was gorgeous. We both walked into my room and just went, ah, it was beautiful compared to the other rooms that we'd seen. And she said to me, you know, I think Holy Spirit has a crush on you because I had this magnificent room. And that line has just kind of stayed with me as a statement of fact, not personal to me. But what I'm seeing more and more is, you know, how Holy Spirit loves or has a crush on every one of us, and is just guiding us so perfectly. And I've really just become really fond of that line, and I feel gratitude when I think about how Holy Spirit has a crush on us. And I have another friend that's singing that song in the shower now. So that's really where this paragraph came from. It was just another opportunity to express that gratitude that I'm feeling because of everything I'm seeing everywhere. And it's just like, here's another chance to say it out loud, so I did. But then I got back to business, so let's continue reading. Now I am feeling to comment by combining the NTI passage from today with a passage from the Way of Mastery, which was actually in Carolyn's post earlier. I guess I should start by saying that my purpose is to be only love in awareness, to know thyself in all things, and to serve the Holy Spirit for the awakening of one mind. I don't really have any other purposes anymore. This is the truth about my heart and my mind. And I felt I needed to state that up front because of where I was going to be going in this post and what I was going to be discussing, because I was going to be talking about letting go of a relationship. And I needed to state up front where my mind was in making this decision. And the mind was in purpose. That's where the mind was. The mind was not in wanting anything other than those three things that I listed. Wanting to be only love in awareness. I don't have to want to be only love, because that's done. That's done for all of us. We are only love, but we're not always aware of that. So for me, a part of my purpose is to be only love in my own awareness, to have that experience and only that experience. So to be only love in awareness, to know thyself in all things. And what that really means for me is more than just in myself. You know, to be only love in awareness kind of covers my perception. But then, you know, or my experience, and this is still a part of my experience, but when I look out on you, when I look out on anything into the world, when I look out into the projection of the world, I want to know that as myself. I no longer want to see or experience separateness. So that's what I really mean by know thyself in all things. And then the next part of my purpose is to serve the Holy Spirit for the awakening of one mind. And if any of you know me, you know that I am very, very serious about that. I have given my life to the Holy Spirit, and I literally say, whatever you want. Now, what this really means is, regardless of the things that you may see me doing, like teaching, writing, I'm now going to be working with Pamela and Richard Dignan to plan a conference. You know, regardless of the things you see me doing, those are not things I wanted to do. And that statement is 100% true. I did not set out with a conscious desire to become a teacher or to write NTI or to plan a conference. It, in my experience, what I set out to do was to serve the Holy Spirit and you know, have this purpose here. And those ideas came into my awareness from the Holy Spirit, like, okay, this is how you can serve. Okay, here's something I want you to do. So my purpose was single-minded, honestly. And then the things that I'm doing as a part of that purpose are being given. So that's why I went on to say I don't really have any other purposes anymore. This is the truth about my heart and my mind. I am willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit asks. And I mean that completely. Now, with that said, that does not mean that the ego is not still there. All right? That does not mean that the ego is not still there or that there is not still resistance within me. So, there are things, ideas, thoughts that come into my mind to attempt to distract me from that purpose that I have chosen. And I use the word temptation to describe this. And I said, for this temptation, I must remain on my toes. I can never forget that the ego is still in my mind. Because the moment I forget that the ego is in my mind, it has me. So I need to always be mind watching. And in fact, I wrote, the mind needs to be watched constantly. There really is no time for not watching the mind. It doesn't matter where I am, what I'm doing, or who I'm with. Mind watching is the one consistent thing I must always do. And I am grateful to you who joined me in this 24/7 endeavor. And of course, I definitely meant that. I'm definitely grateful for every single one who is watching the mind and letting go of the ego, because I am aware that we are one. And I am fully aware that everything you do for me. And so I'm grateful to you. Then I continued. Today's answer from NTI Matthew says, and the question was, why do I need faith to awaken? That was the question that was being discussed on the NTI discussion group. So here's one answer to that question. Why do I need faith to awaken? This is why I ask for your faith and willingness. It is because I am asking you to turn away from what you believe is true, from what you have known until now, and from where you have put your faith before. Let the world go from your sight. Let it be but a vision of dancing symbols with no truth in them. This is what I mean when I ask you to seek only me. Let all that you knew before me go from your thoughts. So again, that's from the Holy Spirit in NTI Matthew. And then I just continued with my own comments. I remember when I wrote that with Holy Spirit, I believe that is the moment that I realized just how much faith was going to be required of me. I was going to have to deny everything that came from me. And at this point, of course, the word me still meant ego, because very much was I fully aligned with the thinking mind at this time. So that's what the word me means in the sentence, is thinking mind or ego. So I was going to have to deny everything that came from me, every thought, every sensory experience, everything I thought I knew, and simply trust Holy Spirit. And that is what I realized in writing that. And in fact, I may have even realized it with a bit of panic and a bit of stress at that time, that really the Holy Spirit was asking me not to believe anything at all that I thought was true anymore. Total commitment of faith, and I understood what was being asked of me. And I continue writing. I also remember that in that same moment of realization, I felt the deep desire of my heart, and I agreed to have exactly that much faith. I stopped trusting me and put my trust in Holy Spirit. When I seemed to know one thing as a fact, but Holy Spirit led in another direction, I let go of what I knew and followed Holy Spirit in faith. That is still the way I walk today. And then I commented, just so no one would misinterpret that as sounding, you know, like always easy. I commented, sometimes there seems to be a struggle in making this choice, but I always make the choice. And I'm confident that that's a true statement. I feel that I do eventually always make the right choice. And by right choice, I mean the choice Holy Spirit is asking me to make. Sometimes I make it more quickly, and sometimes I struggle a bit and therefore suffer a bit before I make the choice. But I do eventually always make the choice. And in fact, that's why I seem to be progressing on this spiritual path, is because I do keep making those choices. Again, it's not always easy, and sometimes I take a little longer. But I am trusting the Holy Spirit more than myself, and I am continually committing to doing that. So then I continued. A helpful thought in today's NTI passage is this: let the world be but a vision of dancing cymbals with no truth in them. This has been most helpful to me in my interpersonal relationships, and it continues to be a strong focus in my mind as I see the temptation to attach to people that I am in relationship with. Since we cannot know all 6 billion people, Holy Spirit gives us relationships with ones that are most helpful to us, and we are most helpful to them. I will call the most useful of these relationships intense relationships, and that's because there seems to be an intensity around them. Intense relationships are the ones we are also most tempted to attach to when they seem to make us happy. And by attach, I mean, so here I defined what I meant by attach. And by attach, I mean that we are most likely to believe we need that person for our happiness. And that right there is the error. The error is not in enjoying the person or, you know, having fun with the person or gratitude with the person or loving the person. The error is in believing that we need that person for our own happiness. And another flair to this might be also the desire to possess someone, you know, to have them do things the way we want them to do it. But even if you don't get to possessiveness, you can be non-possessive and still be attached, still believe that you need that person. And you can tell if you are attached by just imagining that person being taken away or leaving, you know, going away. And if you can feel this intense sadness, then you know that you are attached. Now let me go ahead and start sharing my personal story now, just to really illustrate this. Some of you guys already know the beginning of this story. You know that when I went to New Hampshire, I met someone. And in fact, an intense relationship started immediately. And this is the person that I described to you all, that when I first looked at him, all I saw was light. And I mentioned to you that I was actually afraid and immediately looked away. And then I decided not to be afraid of the light and forced myself to look back. And over the weekend, we ended up forming a relationship. And what I found is that through relationship with him, my awareness of light and love grows stronger. And that's what I seem to be experiencing. And because the light and the love grows stronger, it's a very intense, very powerful relationship. And in fact, I could say that right now it literally feels like the most powerful relationship I've ever had in my life. Well, for him, it is also a very strong, very intense, very right-feeling, powerful relationship. And so we immediately joined together in this. And we've had a lot of discussions and a lot of love going back and forth between the two of us. But What I am very aware of is that the Holy Spirit brought us together. And in fact, even if I went into the long version of the story, you can even look back and see how that is clearly true. The Holy Spirit brought us together. And the Holy Spirit brought us together because we are best for each other right now to continue to help each other wake up. That is why we are together, and we are both aware that is why we are together. We have no idea how long it will last. We know nothing. We know absolutely nothing except that this is why we are together. Well, as I mentioned, there's a lot of love in this relationship, a lot of strong love, intense love. So what happened for me at one point is the idea got into the mind that I needed this one for that love, that I needed this one. I don't even know if I can fully explain. It was almost like for a brief time, I think, in my mind, he became my everything. And I noticed immediately that was an error. I noticed immediately that I was becoming attached, and I needed to quickly let go of that. And the primary reason I wanted to let go of that and needed to let go of that is because I knew at a gut level, that is what I call Holy Spirit, that in effect, he and I actually have a purpose together. This is a relationship brought together by the Holy Spirit, and we have a purpose together. And whatever it is we're going to do together is obviously for him, obviously for me, and it's also for everyone. And I don't want anything in my mind that is not from the Holy Spirit to get in the way of that. I want to be completely free and open for this relationship to be used by the Holy Spirit as it needs to be used. So when I started noticing the attachment in my mind, I had to let go of that. And I didn't really know how I was going to let go of that. I just knew that I had to. Well, last night I suddenly felt to watch a movie that David Benson, Light Drops, actually gave to Jasmine for her birthday. It's called Dragonfly. And it's a very romantic movie. If you've seen it, it's a little bit dramatic, a little bit scary, but really the heart of the movie is romance. So in watching this romantic movie, these feelings began to really come up in a very strong way. These feelings of needing this person, wanting this person, they all came up in a very, very strong way. And you all know from David Hoffmeister that movies are great tools for awakening. But because I was very clear on my purpose and I had already made the decision to let go of the attachment, what I saw that as was my opportunity to do that. So what I did was I felt those feelings. Just like when I'm letting go of guilt, I feel guilt. When I'm letting go of fear, I feel fear. When I was letting go of this desire for attachment, I felt it. And I literally felt it in what I would call every fiber of my being. The wanting. But what I did at the exact same time was I remembered what I wanted even more. And that's what I already described to you up above as my purpose. And I literally let those feelings just move through me. They just like we've talked before, like a cloud passing through the sky, I let those intense, intense feelings move through me. And I cried as I was doing it. I cried almost from two places at the same time. The part of me that didn't want to let go, which we call the ego, was crying out of sadness. And the part of me that wants my purpose above all else, which we call the Holy Spirit, was crying out of gratitude. So I was crying out of two places at the same time. I was literally in two places at the same time. And when the letting go was finished, I just fell asleep. Well, this morning I got up not knowing I was going to make this post. I came in, I turned to the next thing in the NTI index that I was filling to post. You know, I'm always, you know, there's a list that I just go down the list. And the next passage was the one that I just read to you this morning about the dancing symbols. And I knew then, as soon as I read that, oh, I need to comment now on this. And of course, the commenting is really to finish the letting go for me. It was to finish it, to make it done. So now that I've told that story, let me get back into the reading. So I'm going to start with, since we cannot know all 6 billion. Since we cannot know all 6 billion people Holy Spirit gives us relationships with ones that are most helpful to us, and we are most helpful to them. I call the most useful of these relationships intense relationships. Intense relationships are the ones we are also most tempted to attach to when they seem to make us happy. And by attach, I mean that we are most likely to believe we need that person for our happiness. When we believe we need anyone, be it child, lover, parent, or friend, in order to be happy, we have slipped into listening to the ego. It doesn't matter how much love we are feeling or how high the relationship seems to take us. If we believe we need that person for this joy, we are mistaken. And yet, at the same time, okay, at the very same time, there are intense relationships in our lives because they are useful to help us know more love, and they help us to reach higher within ourself. It can seem to be a thin line to walk, staying with the relationships, receiving in love and joy and gratitude everything they give us, and yet not becoming attached. And I think that maybe this is a paragraph that some people missed, because there was a perception that I was saying abandon people, and that is not at all what I'm saying. In fact, if you'll notice, what I'm really talking about is staying with the relationship. I'm talking about receiving everything from the relationship, receiving love, receiving joy, receiving gratitude. I'm talking about learning to love better through the relationship. I'm talking about becoming more in touch with the higher self through the relationship. So I'm not talking about abandoning the relationship. But actually, all of those things can only be achieved if we detach from the relationship. Because as long as we're attached from the relationship and we think we need something from it, what we're going to do is be disappointed in one way or another, because that's the ego. So the only way to really get all of that out of the relationship is to detach. This is letting go of the special relationship and letting it be a holy relationship. So I'm going to read that paragraph again and then continue. And yet, at the same time, there are intense relationships in our lives because they are useful to help us know more love, and they help us reach higher within ourselves. It can seem to be a thin line to walk, staying with the relationships, receiving in love and joy and gratitude everything they give us, and yet not becoming attached. That takes me back to the dancing cymbals sentence. This sentence is how I stay on the right side of that thin line. I learn to look beyond the person to the symbol that the person is for me. And what they symbolize is this. And you'll notice we're right back to my purpose. My desire to be only love in awareness, to know thyself in all things, and to serve the Holy Spirit for the awakening of one mind. By seeing each relationship as this purpose, I am able to love them and enjoy them and have intense gratitude for them, but I am also not attached. I realize that everything I receive comes from my purpose, not the person. And so what I attach to is my purpose. And I am willing to go wherever my purpose leads in faith and joy and gratitude. Now, with that said, again, every time I talk about how wonderful and easy it is, I also, for some reason, want to go back and talk about the ego, because that is another experience within our existence. So now that I've said that, sticking with this purpose does not mean that thoughts of attachment do not come to mind. They do. And when a relationship is particularly intense, those thoughts of attachment can seem to be very strong. This is when a realization, similar to the one Carolyn quoted from The Way of Mastery, is helpful. And so the next paragraph that I'm going to read is a quote out of The Way of Mastery. Even as the thoughts of the world stream through your brain mind, even as the sensory data are received through the cellular structure of the nervous system of the body. You can relinquish these things, can act only from the depth of perfect wisdom, perfect safety, and perfect peace. And I didn't have that paragraph with me last night when I was letting go, but that is what I did. I only received that paragraph this morning when Carolyn posted it. But when I saw that paragraph, I realized that is what I did last night. You know, I felt all of the emotions of wanting this person. I felt all of those emotions very, very deeply. And even as I was feeling them, I let them go or relinquished them. So let me read this paragraph again. Even as the thoughts of the world stream through your brain mind, even as the sensory data are received through the cellular structures of the nervous system of the body, you can relinquish these things, can act only from the depth of perfect wisdom, perfect safety, and perfect peace. And so after quoting that paragraph from The Way of Mastery, I continued with my comments. Yes, I can feel the thought of attachment, that desire to attach to one person for happiness and love. I can feel it in every fiber of my being as it moves through me, and I can choose to let it go at the same time. I have done this. I have done it recently. And now you all know, I mean last night when I say recently. I have done this. I have done it recently. And I know it is the right thing to do if I want to stay in line with my purpose. And the wonderful thing is, we can detach from intense relationships in our life. And the relationships often continue. Every time I have detached from a loved one, the relationship has continued and gotten better. And in that sentence, I'm really referring to my boyfriend. I know many of you know the story about we were going to get married and then we didn't. I won't tell that story again. But basically what happened in that process is I detached from him. I detached from him completely, and I let go of all of my expectations, all of my needs. I let go of everything, and I just gave myself to the Holy Spirit. And that relationship is still continuing. Gosh, what are we now? Almost 3 years after the decision to get married was ended. The relationship is still continuing, and it's a very loving, giving relationship. So the fact that I detached from the relationship did not end the relationship. Another person that I still seem to be detaching to, it's a step at a time, but that's my daughter. I have detached from Jasmine enormously. And what that really means is that Jasmine has a lot more freedom to be Jasmine. When I was attached to her, I wanted to control her. I didn't realize it, but I did. I wanted her to do certain things and be a certain way because my self-image was attached to her. As I've detached from her, she has more and more freedom just to be whatever she is going to be. That detaching is continuing, but I would say, I'm going to throw out a wild-ass number here. I could be wrong, but here's what it feels like. I would say I'm 75% detached. So I've made a lot of progress, but there's probably 25% more to go. But that's why I said when you detach from a relationship, it doesn't mean the relationship ends. And in fact, in my experience with both my boyfriend and my daughter, the relationships have gotten better. They've gotten much better, more loving, more peaceful, more joyful. So there was no loss in the detachment. And again, detachment is letting go of believing you need that one in order for you to be happy. Detaching is realizing that your happiness comes from your purpose. That's all I'm talking about here. So I have detached from a loved one. Every time I have detached from a loved one, the relationship has continued and gotten better. That has been my experience so far. Now, I recognize that isn't always the experience, so I also added, sometimes relationships seem to fade away in form, but they fade in joy and love. And then just kind of as a summary, I added, the answer to every question is to keep purpose foremost in our mind. That is the answer that always leads. Whenever we forget our purpose, we have forgotten who we are. Now, as I mentioned to you all, a lot of this post came from my heart because of a very recent letting go. And I think many, many of you know that for some reason, when we let go of something, that's when it comes to us. And I had that experience. I let go last night. And this morning I got a telephone call from this person, and it looks like he and I are going to be working very, very closely together. He called this morning with a very loud yes. So the detachment is allowing the relationship to move forward in the way it needs to. I've now given the relationship to the Holy Spirit, and it will fully serve His purposes. And I'm really excited about it because I know that is for every single one of us. And I'm grateful to myself for getting out of the way so that this relationship can be what it is meant to be and not what I want to try and make it into. So that is my heart regarding the post that I made this morning on the peace of God. I will let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they would like to share. All right, then. Maybe we should go ahead and get back on purpose. Not that we weren't on purpose, but we kind of took a little detour. But I'm sure it was a perfectly perfect detour because we all know how the Holy Spirit is. But we do. We are ready for April 24th. So what you can do is go to reginadonacres.com. I'll give you that link again. There you go, reginadonacres.com. And once you get to reginadonacres.com, on the right side of the screen, you will see archives. You want to go to April 2005. Make sure your eyes go all the way to 2005 because there are several Aprils in there. You can end up in the wrong April. So April 2005. And hello, Charles. Not to make anyone special, but you're the only one showing up in green, so you're standing out. So hello, Charles. I love you. And, of course, that's for everyone as well, but he's in green, and he's just standing out in my eyesight, so I thought I would acknowledge him. Once you get to the archive for April 2005, you want to scroll down, and we're looking for April 24th. That's what we're ready for today. And I've found it. It's called Forgiveness Ends the Dream of Conflict. And I will just begin reading. See if I remember that this day. Forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here in the mind where it began as an idea, but an impossible idea that could never be true. And every thought that was born of that idea is but illusion. False begets false. It is only your belief in what is false that seems to make it true. Letting go of the belief is the lifting of the veil that reveals the false as false and the truth as it has always been. I'm going to read that sentence again. Letting go of the belief is the lifting of the veil that reveals the false as false and the truth as it has always been. This is the role of forgiveness, letting go of what isn't and accepting what is. Now again, it's been 3 weeks since we've been here, so let me put you back into my frame of mind in April of 2005. First of all, at this time, although I knew how to forgive, I knew how to let go of thoughts. I was not confused on what forgiveness was. I knew how to let go of thoughts. I did not yet fully understand the importance of that. And by that, I mean I did not, at this time in April of 2005, understand that I am a creator and that my thoughts create my experience. So I did not understand that as I held on to worry thoughts, for example, that I was creating my own experience of fear. I didn't know that at all. I wasn't anywhere near that realization. In fact, it was probably at least a full year after this point before I saw that. So really what the Holy Spirit is doing here is helping me to really understand again why I need to forgive. Because as you know, the world seems real. The world seems real and concrete. And by concrete, I mean that the world is not changing or that the world is cause. The world is cause. That's the way it seems. And so there were things going on in my life at the time. For example, maybe a person being really rude to me. And it was really hard for me to understand, what good is it to just let go of these thoughts? And in fact, we see course students at this phase because they'll talk about, I'm just becoming a doormat, right? I mean, somebody's rude to me, I let go of the thoughts, I'm just letting myself be a doormat. That comment comes from not understanding that I'm the creator. If I understood that I was the creator, I could never perceive myself as a doormat. But at this point, I was still at that level of understanding. So if someone was really rude to me, I felt a little bit stupid just letting go of the thoughts and not in some way standing up for myself. So this post is Holy Spirit trying to help me understand that there is additional understanding that I have not yet gotten to that will actually give me the answer to why forgiveness is important. But in order to clear my mind enough to get to that answer, I have to continue to practice forgiveness. That if I continue to hold on to thoughts like, I'm just being a doormat here, this is completely stupid, I should defend myself, if I continue to insist on thinking that way, I'm never going to get to that clarity, that realization of why forgiveness is important, which really is the realization that I am a creator and my thoughts are creating my experience. So Holy Spirit was taking me at a time that I really had no understanding at all and kind of saying, just hold on a little bit more. Just keep doing this and you will see. You will, but the only way to get there is to keep doing it. And, obviously I listened, I kept practicing, and then, fast forward about a year when I was writing the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Ephesians, I did see. That was the day I understood. I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, and I suddenly understood why forgiveness is important. Because if I hold on to a fearful thought, I create my own experience of fear. Or as the Course says, I am just doing it to myself. And at that moment, I really understood why I had been practicing forgiveness all along. So, with that said, let me just read this little, it's kind of a poem, but not exactly, this little thing again. Forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here in the mind, where it began as an idea, but as an impossible idea that could never be true. And every thought that was born of that idea is but illusion. Faults beget faults. It is only your belief in what is false that seems to make it true. Letting go of the belief is the lifting of the veil that reveals the false as false and the truth as it has always been. This is the role of forgiveness, letting go of what isn't and accepting what is. And of course, something else that I saw in Ephesians, in addition to seeing that I am a creator, in addition to that, what I saw in Ephesians is that we are one. So what died for me when I wrote the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Ephesians was the belief in separateness. It died for me. I know that that is no longer true. The ego is still in my mind, and I am still letting go of the ego, but it in no way has the power that it once had. It's more like those ripples on the water now, because I am very aware of our oneness, and I'm aware to the point that I can't forget again. But again, it was things like this that the Holy Spirit gave me that helped me get to that point of realization. So I am very, very grateful for how the Holy Spirit has guided me all along. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share. All right, then. We want to scroll up to Monday, April 25th. And it looks like this is something that came to me as I was meditating on workbook lesson 335, which is, I choose to see my brother's sinlessness. Today, I would behold my brother sinless, because that is all I wish to see. When the ego points in fear at guilt as proof that illusions are real, I will not play. I will rest my mind in faith and let my turn in the game pass by. I will simply let go in peace. There is nothing else to do. And then, when the time to play has passed, I shall open my eyes and see the smile that is waiting there. It will be my smile, because the letting go will have found my release. The dust will have settled, and I will find myself standing safely outside the ring of illusion, and with my hand gently resting on a rock. And the feeling of the rock was that was a very firm foundation that could never be shaken. And for those of you that have been listening to Holy Spirit Guides, you know this is a continuation of an image that the Holy Spirit gave me in April of 2005, but he keeps bringing it over and over again back to my mind. Apparently it was a very effective image for me. And the image, of course, was the image of the world as a game of war. And that because it was a game of war, I would be attacked. I mean, after all, that's what happens in games of war. But when I was attacked within the game, I needed to decide if I wanted to play the game or pass on my turn and not play. And the Holy Spirit taught that the only way to wake up from the game or the only way to stop playing the game is to pass. You either pass or play, right? There's no other option. And so what the Holy Spirit taught me to do was pass. When I seem to be attacked within the game of war that we call the world, just pass, not do anything. Just rest the mind. And so the Holy Spirit is just bringing that image back again, because of course it is through doing that I let go of the ego, and it is through letting go of the ego that one day I look upon my brother and see his sinlessness. I think another error we sometimes make is we try to see the light in our brother by looking through the hatefulness that we're seeing. Like, okay, I see all that hate. I see how evil he's being right now, but I'm going to try to see the light in him. That's not exactly what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. When we see the evil in our brother, we see the hatred in our brother, we're supposed to just step back and rest our mind. Literally just let that perception evaporate. Just let it evaporate. We don't try to see the light in people. That is natural. When we've let go of enough ego, we just do see the light in people. There's no efforting to it. It just is. So if we're not seeing the light in people, it means we need to be letting go of the ego. It doesn't mean we need to be trying to see that light. That's not it. We just realize that we're looking at the ego in our own mind, or else we couldn't see the ego, we would see the light. So if I'm looking at someone and I'm not seeing the light, that is my mind. My mind. My mind. We have so much trouble getting that. I just need to say it over and over and over again. If I look at anyone and I see the ego, and that is meaningful to me. Now, it doesn't mean that once the mind is cleared that we don't still see our brothers making mistakes. We do. And in fact, we know that because Jesus sees us making mistakes and helps us with those. Holy Spirit sees us making mistakes and helps us with those. But when the mind is clear, we see the mistakes in a completely different way. They're meaningless to us. They have no charge to them. If I am looking at my brother and I am seeing his mistake and I'm feeling any charge whatsoever, no matter how small, the mildest annoyance, that is my error. It's time for me to pass and not play the game. This is why Holy Spirit tells us and Jesus tells us not to correct our brother. It's because the majority of the time when we correct our brother, what we're missing is our own opportunity to rest our mind. We were annoyed by what our brother said, and we feel like we need to correct him. Instead, whenever we feel even the slightest twinge of annoyance, we need to bring it back, realize it's my mind, and let it go. Now, at the level of form, this doesn't mean that correction never happens. I have experienced correction coming through me, and that has a completely different feeling. And not only that, any time that I have experienced correction coming through me, it was completely received on the other end. Holy Spirit knows when someone is willing for and wanting that correction because they want that clarity. And when it just happens through us, it has a completely different feel. So another thing we can't really do is judge, oops, you corrected him, oops, you corrected her. And in fact, if we're doing that, remember, it's our annoyance again. You know, we really need to get this. Any twinge of annoyance is ours. You know, any judgment is ours. So we don't try to see the light in people. We just recognize when we aren't. And then we rest the mind and let go of our own perceptions. And then the miracle is that one day we just are seeing the light in people, and it doesn't even matter what they're doing. We still see and are aware of and love the light. So I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has any comments. Yes, Charles, please take the mic.
Hello, room. Candace, I just want to say how significantly important what you're teaching today is to the understanding of the nature of mankind in the world. I see you 100% right on track, and I support you totally in what you're doing. And thank you for the opportunity of letting me say that.
Okay, now Charles, I'm going to tell you something, but I might tell you for a different reason it sounds like at first. You just called me Candace, but I want to tell you how good that felt. I met Candace in February, and I had a strange experience with her. I never talked to her about it, so I don't know if it was one-sided or two-sided. I have no idea. But every time I saw Candace, I literally felt like I was disappearing into her. There is very definitely a something there, you know, that is very much the same in me and the same in Candace. So you can call me Candace anytime you want. I think what you're recognizing is that sameness that I recognized when I disappeared into her. And she's absolutely beautiful, and I love her very much. And I know she feels the same way, even though we don't get to talk often. So thank you for the compliment. All right, let's go up to Wednesday, April 27th. Within the mind, my treasure I will find. It is waiting there, glimmering in love. Mine to behold, mine to share, mine to extend. It cannot rust or hide in dust. It can only shine. My treasure is there in my mind, waiting for me to find. It is mine. A little different than the way Holy Spirit usually talks to me. We had a little Dr. Seuss rhythm going there. Not sure why it came through that way that day. Maybe actually even a different Holy Spirit voice. As you know, when I wrote NTI, I experienced many voices of the Holy Spirit, many aspects of the Holy Spirit. So maybe this was a kid showing up that day or something. I don't know. But I will tell you that I loved the change in the voice. I loved the change in the tune. I think that I was getting very serious. Maybe that's why this happened. You know, I was in willingness, accepting everything the Holy Spirit told me and wanting very much to do everything I was being asked to do, but I think I was getting a little serious. And, you know, that can go too far too, because we start judging ourselves on how well we're doing what the Holy Spirit has asked us to do. So I think my treasure, it still sent the same message, but it lightened it a little bit. It was fun. It was, you know, cute. It was childlike. And this is another one of the small ones that I posted on my bulletin board at work so that, you know, any opportunity I had, I could just spin around from my desk and look at it and read it again. It's just right on in purpose, right on in purpose, right on in that motivation to just keep practicing forgiveness, even though I wasn't seeing the benefits yet, to just keep doing it, reminding me that I'm working towards this treasure and I am going to find it and it is already mine, but in a very cute and fun way. So let me read it one more time. Jasmine, you want to come read it? Come here, you want to read that little poem for everybody? See this one called My Treasure?
Yeah.
Here, all you do is don't put a face like right here, not too close to the mic, and just read that.
Until that one?
Yeah, until it is mine.
Okay. Within my mind, my treasure I will find. It is waiting there, glimmering in love. Mine to behold, mine to share, mine to extend. I cannot rush or hide in
Dolly.
It cannot rust or hide in dust. It can only shine. My treasure is there in my mind, waiting for me to find it. It is mine.
Yay. Mwah, I love you. Yay. Hugs going on here now. I think with that, we will stop because actually Jasmine wants to go swimming at 3 o'clock. And
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Well, we'll talk about that. But it is almost 3, and you know, we would go over if we continued. So we'll just stop here. Jasmine, you want to tell everybody how much you love them?
I love you a lot.
Lots and lots. All right, everyone. Thank you. Goodbye, and I'll see you on Thursday for the NTI study group.
Bye.